So, Rabbi Yisai, we're here in the 11th Perek, the Sefer from the Heilige Piyasetzna, Chovas Talmidim. And over here, he's talking about Hasmodas HaBakosha, Hashkofa Meroimim. Hasmoda means consistently. Consistently doing Avodah, consistently the Bakosha, the search, the yearn, the desire. And he's speaking about a person like reminding himself. The last paragraph that we did, he said, the more you repeat it, the more you think about it. Our problem is that we're so distracted and we're so busy entertaining ourselves that we don't actually think about things. And even simple things that we are aware of, that we know, but we have to get it from the mind to the heart. And how do you do that? Repetition, thinking about it consistently. It should be on your mind. Right now on page Tzadi Dalid in the new printing, I don't have my old printing with me, on the bottom, the last paragraph on the bottom, and we're speaking about a person who reminding himself of something. The more you repeat it, the more you remind yourself, the more it gets ingrained in you. So here we are, and he says, V'loi es emunas Hashem. And not emun in Hashem, belief in Hashem. We spoke about it last week. Hashem is here, Hashem is there. We know that, right? We know that from Uncle Maishi. But the more a person reminds himself, the more he feels he doesn't just know it. But we're not just talking about that, about feeling your emunah, living your emunah. We're not just speaking about that. Just emuna b'Hashem, ki umalei kol olamos bilvad. Not only that, tisragel lachshov tamid, to think about all the time. Shouldn't only be thinking about that. Ela gam es tachlischa, think about your purpose. Think about your reason. Why did I come to Eretz Yisrael? What am I doing here? Why did I come to this planet? What is the purpose of my existence? Think about that. Try to keep in touch with those things. V'tachlis kol Yisrael. Shedibarnu leo. We spoke about it before. And remind yourself of that. Because people tend to somehow veer. Because they get distracted. And a person doesn't remind himself. He doesn't realize, what are my priorities? What am I here for? What's my goal? What's my vision? Where do I want to reach? What do I want to be? And what am I doing now? Is it getting me closer to that? And what's the whole creation of Klal Yisrael? What's the purpose? V'hatnai shehisna Kadosh Baruch Hu imanu, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu made a condition with Klal Yisrael. V'heyisem li segula mikol ha'amim mamleches koyanim v'goy kadosh. The Kadosh Baruch Hu told us that's who you are. What does it mean, a goy kadosh? Kadosh means you have to be separate. Kadosh means removed. Kadosh means that Kadosh Baruch Hu says you have to hold yourself to a higher standard. And I think that perhaps, very possibly, the reason why we find something that totally boggles the mind, it's totally illogical, the way that the Goyim treat us, the way that the nations of the world treat us, we're held to such a different standard than everyone else. Like, why is it that there are so many countries around the world that are busy practicing genocide, killing tens, hundreds of thousands of people, and no one says boo? And all Israel's trying to do is protect itself. And you know, you kill one Arab because you're trying to protect yourself, and the whole world's in an uproar. Hashem Yirachem, there was a terrible, terrible tragedy that happened yesterday. There was a terrorist attack. And he was eliminated by a tour guide. Now, this Yimach Shemoy, this Rasha Merusha, he attacked soldiers. There was tons of soldiers around. None of the soldiers shot him. So when they asked this tour guide that eliminated him, he said, they're all afraid to shoot because soldiers nowadays, you shoot a terrorist, you can end up in jail for life. There's a soldier who just recently, a few days ago, was just convicted of manslaughter for killing a terrorist. So we're petrified of doing anything because the whole world is going to condemn us. What are you condemning? All we're trying to do is protect ourselves. And you're busy with all of these regimes all around us that are genocide. They're practicing nuclear chemical warfare. They're killing people left and right. They're finding mass graves. No one says anything. We're held to a totally different standard than the rest of the world. And I think that very possibly Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to drill into us, you have to hold yourself to a different standard. And if you hold yourself to a different standard, then the Goyim will stop trying to remind me that we're not there at the United Nations. We're not just another nation with the other nations. We're not there. It's not the way it is. We have to expect, we're different than them. We have to act different than them. We have to have our conduct has to be different than them. And if we would act different, they would stop treating us so different. And a person has to remind himself, Tachshoiv kipam bepam. A person realizes I have to expect more of himself is not something bizarre. Yoytzim in a klal. It's like something that every once in a while I'll be good. Like we're asking you something extra credit. You could do without. It would be nice if I would be like, very holy. It would be nice if I'd be Goy Kadosh. Not necessary. But if a person keeps on reminding himself and he keeps on focusing on it, it'll end up being something that is not a luxury, it's a necessity. Rak be'inecha tireh, you'll see with your eyes. She'be'oifin acher I efsher li'os Yisrael. It's impossible, impossible to keep your identity if you are not living above, a cut above. That's what it means to be a Yid. E'efsher b'oifen acher. Chafetz Chaim has a vort on the pasuk. The pasuk says in Hazinu, Loidavar reik hu mikem ki uchayechem. It's talking about the Torah. Torah is not something that's empty because it's your life. What does the pasuk mean? Chafetz Chaim said a beautiful pshat. Says the Chafetz Chaim, when a person is looking to buy a car, so a person can buy cars and there's things that are options. There are add-ons. You could buy a car with power steering or you could buy a car without power steering. You could. It's an option. It's for sure much more comfortable if the car's got power steering. You could buy a car with power windows or you could buy a car that you manually roll up and down the window. I'm not sure if you could buy that anymore, but used to be able to. That's an option. Car with manual or power. Can you buy a car with an engine or without an engine? Or if the car has no engine, it's not a car, it's a go-kart. That's not a car. A car is something that has an engine. So let me ask you a question. A Yid that doesn't have Torah, what is he? The pasuk says, Ki hem chayenu v'orech yomenu. Torah is our life. If we don't have Torah, that's not something that's optional. That's not something that's a luxury. It's not an add-on. It's lo davar reik hu mikem. It's not something you could be empty of. You could say, this car doesn't have power steering. This person doesn't have... You can't say this Yid doesn't have Torah. Ki hu chayechem. It's your life. It's e'efshar li'os Yisrael without it. It's impossible. And if a person has that in his mind, it's not an option. This is not optional. This is not extra credit. Then, ubemida shetisragel machshavis elo, and the more that you think about these things, and a person, he processes it, tishane kol hashgafascha ala olam. It'll change your entire outlook on the entire world. This is big stuff. Your entire world outlook is going to change. Al Am Yisrael ve'alecha, on what Klal Yisrael looks like and on yourself. Lihiyos acheres, to be different. There's very important things here. I think very, very instructional and very fundamental. Kedusha Elyoina v'Yisrael. Kedusha Elyoina, being a Kadosh, being above, being holy, Klal Yisrael. Lo yeh etzlechot kishnei dvarim shenim v'rechaykim. It's not two different things. It's not, there's one thing to be a yid, and then there's the tzaddikim walking around. You know, the yidin that they live their life based on what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. The yidin that they really are removed from all of the, you know, the muck of this world. It's not two different things. That's what it means to be a yid. It's not shnei dvarim. Rak David do achas hi. It's all one. Ukeshet Israel Israel bazeh. And when you, if a person will continue to consistently think this, ukeshet talash kafas azu. And when you bring yourself up with this outlook, az me atzmecha gam belibcha tidag v'targish bazeh is a nignud geshem v'shtus. Your heart is gonna bother you, because I can't have this. I can't be. I can't allow stupidity to enter into my life. Because I want to be a yid. And that's what it means to be a yid. I can't allow gashmias to take over my entire lifestyle. Because that's not acceptable. V'tasmid levakesh hoireni Hashem derkecha. And you will consistently search, Hashem, show me your way. Ahalech ba'amitcha. I will go in your truth. Hoshieni, save me. Ve'evdecha be'emes, I will serve you in truth. Be'yiro ve'ahava ve'chol she'tasmid levakesh tasmid la'avoid. And the more you search for it, the more you want it, the harder you're going to work. So Rabbi said, I think there is major, major yisoid this year. There's an old saying, English saying, which is, necessity is the mother of invention. Necessity is the mother of invention means if a person needs to do something, he'll find a way to do it. If it's a necessity, you're going to make it happen. There are just a lot of times that things are just not necessary. It would be nice. Sure, I would love for that to happen. It's kind of like a dream, but it doesn't have to happen. I don't need it. I could get by without it. I mean, life's fine. Sure, it would be nice to be, you know, holy Jew and everything. But if a person changes his whole outlook and says, this is no longer optional. This is not an option for me to live an empty life. It's not an option to every once in a while, you know, give homage to God. I want to live a life where I'm connected to the Eibishter. That is what it means. Mamleches koinim v'goy kodesh. That is the definition of a yid. Anything less is not acceptable to me. I won't accept it. Then I'm going to have to find a way to do it. I'm going to have to make it happen. Rabbi Yeruchim says a brilliant uptach in Yiridas Adoiris. He says, what is this we know? There's something called Yiridas Adoiris. Generations aren't as great as the previous generations. And there's a steady slide. And we haven't attained what the other generations have attained. Where does it come from? Why does it happen? Says Rabbi Yochum, Yiridas Hadoiris comes from a Yirida in a person's she'ifa, in a person's, what a person feels is he has to be. Once upon a time, a person felt it was totally unacceptable to not know Shas. It wasn't an option. What are you, a total moron? Are you an idiot? You don't know Shas? That's ridiculous. Person felt like a fool. It wasn't an option. If it's not an option, you make it happen. How am I supposed to learn Shas? That's crazy. You make it happen. It has to happen. If it's not an option, it happens. But all of a sudden, oh, I don't have to learn Shas. I can just, you know, I know a Masechta here, a Masechta there, that's good. And then it becomes an option not even to know a Masechta here. I know a few blot, then it becomes an option not to know anything. I don't even know. I don't know the months of the year. I don't know the parshas. I don't know anything. And that's okay. What's the problem? I'm a good Jew. I put on my tefillin. I sit in my sukkah. I give tzedakah. What's wrong? And all of a sudden, anything's an option. And if that's an option, it's going to happen. But if a person says, this is not an option, this is not possible. I can't not know the parshas. He will sit there and drill himself until it happens. He'll make it happen. A person says, I need this to happen. It will. It's if he says the lashon, the piyasetzna, e efsher acheres. I can't have it any other way. You'll make it happen. As someone once asked me, I had gotten the night before very, very little sleep. Someone said to me, apparently he knew that, he said to me, how do you function the next day? How do you function? I'm pretty sure I was on the phone, it was late at night, I was on the phone and it was late, I was talking to America, and someone said, how are you going to function tomorrow? I don't understand how you're going to function. So I told him the following thing. I said to him, if you were up at 5 o'clock in the morning, the night before your wedding, the next day's your wedding, you're gonna walk around the day of your wedding like, you know, like you're all blasé, you're gonna go to sleep, you're gonna like be busy schlepping your feet. You got so much to do, it's the day of your wedding. You gotta go, person's gotta go to the mikveh, he's gotta go put on a suit, he's gotta go and take care of this, person, and there's too much, I can't afford on the day of my wedding not to produce. I have to be productive today. It's not an option for me today to say, I got a headache, I'm going to sleep. It's just not an option. So if a person realizes that today, I cannot afford to miss Shacharis today, it's just not an option. I can't afford to miss First Seder. What do you mean you have a headache? So what? If a person has a headache, you say, okay, you know what? I'm going to skip the Chassan's Tish. I'm just not feeling well today. It's like, what do you mean? It's your Chassan. How can you skip the Chassan's Tish? Well, I mean, my Chassan's Tish is important. And First Seder, I'll do it tomorrow. Okay, if a person says it's not an option to miss, it's not an option for me not to be there, then he forces himself to make it. But if it's an option, my head's hurting me today. Oh, my stomach hurts. Oh, my side hurts. Oh, my rib hurts me. My fibula. I get athlete's foot. I can't be in yeshiva today. If it's an option. But if a person tells himself, this is not optional. In my head, it's no longer optional. I want to tell you something. I think the Maharal says this. Listen to what happened at Har Sinai. It's a very strange thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you want the Torah? Yes, yes, Nasa v'nishma. Yes, we want the Torah. Don't even tell us what it is. Great. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes a mountain, puts it over our heads, and says, if you don't keep the Torah, I'll kill you. We said yes. We said yes. We don't need the mountain. Everything's good. Why don't you have to put a mountain over their head? And the Maharal says, because if you don't feel obligated, it's not going to happen. So Hashem says, you said yes. Great. Well, guess what? It's not optional. I know you decided to do it, but it's not optional. From here on in, you're forced to do it. And if you don't feel that way, you're not going to make it happen. You got to feel there is no other option. I'm dead if I don't do this. Or I'm not Jewish if I don't do this. I don't exist. I'm irrelevant if I don't do this. I need to make this happen. Once upon a time, you know, I tell a bachur, you have to do a blat shakavatari bal peh. Like, come on, it's so hard. I can't do a blat shakavatari bal peh. And then I can tell a bachur, you know what? You have to do three blat mila bimila bal peh. Can't do that. Guess what? They're doing it. You know why? Because they feel like they have to do it. And guess what? This bachur are going to do 15 blot. Mila b'mila bal peh. You told them that 2 years ago. You're crazy out of your mind. I can't do that. Well, I want to tell you something. Every single bachur in this room can do it. If he said, I need to do it, I have to do it, he would do it. But it's optional. I don't want to buy into that. But if you buy in and you say, I need to make this happen, you will make this happen. Every one of us. The problem is that we haven't bought in. The more that we've bought in, the more we can accomplish. We have to make ourselves feel mechuyev. I need to be here. But a person feels obligated, feels forced, then he makes it happen. Our problem is that it bothers us. It bothers us a little bit. I'm being forced. It's like, I want to be treated like an adult. I want to do it on my own. So I want to tell you something, just so that you should know. My children, often, when I try to help them, they say, by myself, Tati, by myself. I want to do it by myself. That's a childish way to do things. Adults don't do things by themselves. A person works in a regular, like, office. So if his boss would go over and say, like, you weren't at work today. You know, he's like, well, I want to decide myself when I come to work, and I want to be mature about it. Why are you treating me like a baby? You're like a baby? What are you, this is ridiculous. A baby is a child that always says, by myself, let me do it by myself. A mature person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not treating us like babies. He's telling us, listen, in order for you to do this, you have to feel obligated. We don't like obligations because you're ruffling me. You're getting me out of my comfort zone. You're forcing me to do things. It's like, but it's not going to work. That's the way it works. It works when we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, makes us compelled to do something even though we're not comfortable doing it. I don't feel comfortable doing this. And then greatness happens. And then all of a sudden, wow, I did 15 blat mila b'mila? That's crazy. I mean, 3 blat mila b'mila for some of us was crazy. It is. It's an unbelievable accomplishment. And it only happens because someone forced us to do it. And we sat down and said, I can't do this. I can't. And then all of a sudden, it happened. Why? Because I felt forced. If you could change your whole mindset, change up here and say, it's not an option to come late to davening. It's not an option. It cannot happen. That's not acceptable to me. It won't. You think it's impossible for you to come on time to davening? It's not. And I'll give you, this is what always happens. There's people who are perennially late. They're always late. If we would start davening at 10 to 7, they'll come at 7:20. We start davening at 7:20, they come at 7:40. Start davening at 7:40, they come at 8 o'clock. Start davening at 8 o'clock, they come at 8:20. Why? Because it's an option. Because Pesukim Zimra is an option. I was there for davening. What do you want from me? This is acceptable to me. This is classic. We had this when we started the yeshiva many, many years ago. So there's a bacher who was coming consistently late. Hallelukas. Hallelukas. Now, we were davening before that. He was one of the people that came over from the Mir yeshiva. So we were davening the Mir before that. So the Mir's down. He starts 7:15. We start 7:35. So I said to him, what time did you show up in the Mir? He said, Hallelukas. I said, but Hallelukas was over there. I come Hallelukas. That's it. Don't make a difference. What time? You got to get me up. That's when I come. That's what it is. So now, yeshiva's davening, for those of you that don't know, is like 10 minutes later than it was last year. And it's still consistently coming late. Why? Because that's optional. Pesukim Zimra is optional. I don't have to be there. Be the beginning of davening. That's crazy, Rabbi. I didn't do that. But if a person says in his head, it is not an option to come late. It's not optional. In my mind, it's totally not acceptable. Then he is capable of doing that. Just a question of what we have generated for ourselves as being acceptable behavior. What do we see as acceptable? What are we willing to tolerate? We look around and say, this is what everyone else is doing. Look at that. It's okay. Just like everyone else. It's the so bad syndrome. It's not so bad. So what do you want from me? It's okay, Rabbi. It's okay. It's not great, but it's acceptable. The moment it's acceptable in your head, so then it's going to happen. The moment you tell yourself, I don't care that other people are doing that. This is not acceptable to me. I have my own moral compass of where I feel I should be. This is not acceptable. This type of behavior is not something that I'm going to allow myself to be. Then you make it happen. Tisragel b'machshavoscha hakdoishes u'bahashkafa ilo k'nizka le'el. You have to, a person has to get himself into that mode. Because b'maisa, we look around, and there are certain things that the world is telling us is acceptable. We have to constantly remind ourselves, no, not acceptable. So it's something that you have to repeat, and you have to constantly, you have to inculcate in yourself, and you have to remind yourself, this is what I expect of myself, this is where I want to be. And the fact that the world is telling me it's okay to do this, or okay to do that, doesn't make it acceptable for me. And the more that a person is tisragum, if you a person, he conditions his mind to think, think big, think high. Hashmeinos matzavenu harom. Ashelifnim neged matzavenu ashafalata. Let's try to compare what was once upon a time by Klal Yisrael and what's today. And this is important. Try to compare what Klal Yisrael looked like. Let's take a look at Klal Yisrael back in the day. Ki kefi hanira, B'divrei ha-Navim ha-Ksufim. If you look in Navi, look in Ksufim, you'll see. Lo ha'isa nevua az k'davar ha-yotze min ha-hergel. Back in the day, nevua wasn't so abnormal. It wasn't so irregular. Now, I don't understand. To become a Navi, you have to be holding on a pretty high darga. Right? When he says it wasn't so irregular, he doesn't mean to say that it came to, you know, to simple people. He meant that people that were on the madrega of nevua wasn't so irregular. Lo haisa nevua az kedara yotze min ha-hergel. Lo chidish v'lo pele. Wasn't a chidish, wasn't something that people are amazed by. Kisherotza Hashem lo haidia l'manoyach v'ishtoy. Aleidas shimshin benam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to inform Manoyach and his wife about the fact that their son Shimshon was going to be born. Lo yehoidiyam b'chaloyim. He didn't inform them in a dream. V'lo yehoidiyam b'askoil. Ki lama kol eilim yachom l'shloch lem malach. Just send them a malach. So there they are. Having a conversation with a malach. No big deal. V'm lo yedai lem b'pam achas sholchei b'pam shnia. Wasn't enough once. He came back a second time. Af shemanoich v'ishto lo hayagadoy le Yisrael. They didn't stand out as towering over everyone else in Klal Yisrael. Kama shamu chachamin zechon levracha. Aval haloi Yisraelim hayu. They were yidding. And back in the day, a yid was a kadosh. Every yid was, he was a chelik of Klal Yisrael, which means goy kadosh. And every yid was, he was a candidate for kedusha, for nevuah. They could talk to a malach. They had a conversation with a malach. It wasn't irregular. It wasn't bizarre. Because back in the day, if you weren't someone that could do this, you were a nobody. Everyone in Klal Yisrael was doing it. And when everyone's doing it, I'm doing it. And every single one of us, with our koichas that we had, if we were in Yeshivas Velozhin back in the day, every one of us would be a Bucky in Shas. Every single one of us. Because it's E.F. Sheracheres. It's not possible otherwise. If it's not possible, we're going to make it happen. How in the world is this brain going to know all of Shas? You'll make it happen, because necessity is the mother of invention. Tell you that I am extremely, extremely bad with names. Extremely bad with names. I'm to the point where it's laughable. My wife always thinks it's. I mean, there's so many stories in my house of me forgetting people's names. You know, like I once was given the covet of Kriyas Hashem by Bris. My wife asked me what the name was. I said, I don't remember. She said, you gave him his name. I don't remember names. I'm horrible, horrible, horrible with names. Terrible. But within maybe 2 days, maybe more, I know every single Bachur in Yeshiva's name. Because by me, it's impossible there should be a Bachur in this Yeshiva and I don't know his name. It's not possible. Even though I'm terrible, any Bachur who's not in this Yeshiva, I don't know his name. I can tell you now, the boys that come visit here, if anyone's present or whatever, you have to apologize, I apologize. I don't know your name. I don't know, I'm terrible. I'm a chavrusa in Yeshiva and Passaic. I didn't know his name. He was my chavrusa. I didn't know his name. I'm terrible with names. I was once on a plane with someone and he asked me, hey, he learned the Yeshiva, do you know this fellow? His name is Moshe Chaim Schwartzman. I was like, no, I don't know. Came back to him like a few minutes later, I said, oh, he's one of my best friends. So it was his schwer. He said, so you have a friend who's like a little bit like, you know, your best friend doesn't know your name. I don't know names. Because to me, names are just not important enough for me to know them. I'm not that type of person. I'm a face person. That's the way I am. I remember faces, I don't remember names. But when I need to remember names, I remember them. These names are important to me. Now, I wish, and I'm being honest, this is a weakness of mine. I don't remember names in Gemaras. Those of you who have been in my shir for long enough can see. Rabba, Rava, Rav Nachman, Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chanina, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to remember. I don't remember them well. Those of you that have been in my shir for long enough know that. I remember shitas, I remember opinions. I have a hard time remembering names. Is it a ktsais? I have a hard time with that. What I'm trying to condition myself, and I'm working on it, is that it's not an option not to remember Rabba and Rava. It's not optional. It's not, was it Rabba or was it Rava? Or was it Rish Lakish? Or was it Rav Chanina? Or was it Rav Chanina ben Doisa? Or was it Rav Yochanan? If I can just convince myself that it's not optional. It is not optional to forget a Gemara. It's not an option. You can't forget this Gemara. If that would be my outlook, I wouldn't forget. If that would be all of our outlooks. So then it's not possible we go to Shir and the next day, whether Rebbe talking about, I'm not really sure what sugya you're holding in, I'm not really sure, or anything like that. These things wouldn't happen to us. It's all about our outlook. How do we view ourselves? What is our image of Klal Yisrael? What is Klal Yisrael supposed to look like? Is this the way Klal Yisrael is supposed to be? Is this considered to be okay? Is this acceptable or not? And the fact that it's happening doesn't mean it's acceptable. It's also happening that we're languishing in this gullus and we're suffering here because we are not behaving the way we're supposed to. This is not acceptable. Gullus is not acceptable. You can't stay this way. I have to change. And if a person says that to himself, he makes it happen. Let's just do a little bit more. Shalom HaMelech lo hayah navi v'oiterem shemalech. He's going to give another example. He's drilling this home to us, Rabbi say. He's trying to drill it home to us. Realize that a person, what a person can become, it just needs expectations of himself. And he says a very important nakuda. One more nakuda in this last paragraph. Shalom HaMelech lo hayah navi v'oiterem shemalech bein lahakas al nevim gam kein niba. Shalom HaMelech, before he was a melech, he wasn't even a navi, he also had nevuah. V'lo hu bil vadal gam shlichov sheshalach lidov is David HaMelech. Not only him, his shlichum had nevuah. Gam aleim hoisa ruach, gam heim niba. The ruach came on them, they were misnabeh. Asher kenira, lo kedai lahatzil es David bilvad hishu Hashem, lo kedai. Lahatzil es David bilvad hishu Hashem es ruach nevuah aleim. What's like Hashem said, okay, listen, I got to find a way to save David. Let me put some nevuah over here. It didn't work that way. Hashem has plenty of ways to save David. He doesn't have to put nevuah on someone that doesn't deserve nevuah. Hashem did it because this person was capable of nevuah. It can't make people who are trying to kill someone into another. Why now to do these nisim change the nature? Hashem doesn't do miracles for nothing. It must be Hallo Yisraelim heim kishem misrachakim mimakoyram. These people are Yidden. And sure they drifted away from their makar. For sure that they went far away. Misgashmim. And they got all materialistic. Aval kishaboim bein hanevim gam behem misparetzes nevuasa. And they keep the company of nevim. Even people that they were not really on course. But if they put themselves in the company of Nevi'im, quickly they start becoming more connected with this idea of Nevuah. It changes their whole outlook. Because if everyone's doing Nevuah, then I'm also going to be doing Nevuah. If a person puts himself in a type of place where this is what we do, protect your surroundings. Stay in an environment where the people around you have sensitivities. Keep the right company. And then all of a sudden, that becomes your reality. You want to create a new reality for yourself. Careful where you go and the company you keep. Because the moment a person goes to places and he sees things that become an option, it becomes a possibility, then he already loses his ability to get past that. Even Shaul was able to be misnava the whole night. So Rabbi say, we have to be able to look at ourselves and say, I'm capable of more. I want more. I need more. I need it. I will not tolerate myself being less. And the moment you say that is the moment of truth. It's the moment you make it happen. But in that, we'll continue.